Chapter 140. The Virtues of Imprudence. "So let me get this straight," Harry said over a small metal cup of tea a few minutes later, looking out at the chill dawn light and feeling the chill in his bones. "Hermione went upstairs and threw curses at Nagini, who let me go. One smashed the window, attracting the attention of Draco and Ron, who were both lurking around like lurkers. My wand smashed in this confrontation, and Ron drew the Sword of Gryffindor, which he used to nearly take Nagini's head off, but his snakiness turned up and you all scarpered?"
"Right, mate,"
Ron said, looking drawn and guilty and red-haired and wonderful.
"And I missed all of it?" Harry asked.
"You were busy," Draco said tightly, mumbling in snake. Harry froze for a second.
"Well, I guess it's too bad about my wand," Harry said immediately. "We'll have to get in touch with Ollivander, huh?"
"You were busy mumbling in snake, Harry," Draco continued inexorably, because he wouldn't feel guilty about setting his mother on fire, the git. "You said it wasn't an issue anymore."
"Well," said Harry, who had said that and might have been exaggerating a little bit, "weren't you the one giving me lectures on the power of friendship to defeat evil and not hiding things from friends, Potter?" asked Draco.
"I did do that," Harry allowed.
"Three times," Draco hissed. "And I put up with it because I thought you had some sort of absurd secret to impart, but you're just mucking about."
"Calm down, mate," said Ron.
"And since when was Ron that tall?"
"I am not your mate," Draco shouted, and then paused, panting.
"I'm sorry, Harry," said Hermione, "about your wand. We can try to repair it, can't we?" Harry asked, abruptly tired and scared, just as he could see the rest of them were. He'd rather been counting on his wand and the twin cores with Voldemort. They tried to repair it. They failed. Life had its way on keeping rushing onwards. There was Gellert Grindelwald to discuss, after all, and how he might be connected to Voldemort's project. There was the biography of Dumbledore to read and marvel and ignore Draco's sniff. Draco sulking was reassuringly normal, but Harry couldn't muster up his normal humor about it. Without a wand, even his pockets seemed useless, just clinking, taunting things full of secrets he couldn't access. He wasn't proud of yelling at Hermione, but in the end it was good to talk to someone about Dumbledore. All the weird, mixed-up feelings about finding out that all his adult role models had had their brushes with the dark and the urge to conquer the world came pouring out, and he was left empty. Was he the weird one, that he never looked at one single thing and gone, "I would like to conquer that"? That wasn't a potions textbook. Hermione hugged him. "You're not the weird one," she assured him tearfully. "You're a unicorn." And then Harry was laughing and crying, and he was glad Ron and Draco were off somewhere and letting Hermione handle talking about feelings. It was okay to break down a little in front of Hermione somehow. It was okay. They did have a couple days to figure out their next steps and talk. Ron had, it turned out, been hopping around the country rescuing people and playing knight-errant, first with one set of refugees and then others, Muggleborn keeping one step ahead of the Snatchers, though the Snatchers had lightened up in recent weeks. Harry and Draco shared a glance and did not share their part in that. But after that, Draco stopped harping on Harry about his keeping of secrets. He'd gone to Grimmauld Place, but heard a voice that sounded like Lucius Malfoy and scarpered, much to Harry's tired chagrin.
"They're all being shoved into Azkaban," Ron said darkly, staring at their little jar of blue fire with a grim look on his face. He looked older, somehow, compared to just a few months ago. "And they don't live long there, I don't think."
"Hermione and I were talking about breaking into Azkaban," Harry commented,
Not seriously, but we'll have to do it sometime, won't we?
Don't be absurd, said Draco from the other side of the fire.
Draco still hadn't forgiven Harry, even if he'd stopped being snippy about secrets.
I'm not, Harry said shortly. It's just something to think about.
It's full up on Dementors and worse things, Ron said. Don't know how Sirius did it.
Turned into a dog and ran, I think, said Harry.
It's on an island in the middle of the sea, Ron objected. Can't have just swum the whole way, can he?
I don't know, Harry said defensively. I haven't asked, have I? Not something you just bring up over dinner, is it?
Guess not, Ron said.
It would be a good thing to do,
Hermione said, something Harry distrusted in her casual tone.
If they're locking up Muggleborn, the Death Eaters did it a few times, and that was with more Dementors. It would distract them.
Everyone else is supposed to be distracting them from us, Draco objected. Who cares about some Muggleborn when we have a war to fight?
Harry, Hermione, and Ron shared glances. Hermione and Ron's looks seemed to suggest that Draco was Harry's bright idea and he could deal with this.
So, about the power of friendship, Harry started, and ducked as Draco threw a rock at his head.
The power of friendship, Harry continued, straightening up again to Draco's glare, encompasses all mankind. You can't just turn it off and on for some people or other people. It's about, what's the word?
Empathy, Hermione added helpfully.
Empathy, Harry continued, picking up his sentence. So we care about people locked up going mad because they're locked up going mad and don't deserve to. It doesn't matter if it's prudent.
That's what Voldemort had thought in that dream memory of murdering Harry's mother. He hadn't needed to kill her. It had just seemed prudent.
Harry was never, ever going to be a prudent person. Not if it killed him. He rather bore a grudge against the entire concept at this point.
You're all crazy, Draco said flatly, and I'm having nothing to do with you.
We've got the magic sword on our side, Harry pointed out easily and imprudently.
And the power of friendship.
You're doing this to taunt me, but I am a man of breeding. I will not be taunted, nor will I ever choose to believe that we should waste our time with the muck of Azkaban.
Harry smiled easily and decided to take the opportunity to tackle Draco into the snow. Punching Draco's face in sounded like a delightful way to pass the time. He nicked Draco's wand, too, while he was at it, despite Draco's hissing.
There, problem, as the saying went, solved.